At the end of every reading of the Holy Gospel, the priest or the deacon will always say, "The Gospel of the Lord," meaning the good news of the Lord, and everyone says, "Thanks be to God," or "Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ." But today's Gospel, well, it doesn't seem at first like very good news. Lots of talk about division, division in families, and in fact, the very first words of Jesus in this Gospel are, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing." Is that good news? Do we say, "Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you're going to set the world on fire"? At first, it doesn't seem very good to us, because fire we think of as being so destructive. There have been fires, in fact, right here in the neighborhood recently. You know, houses burned down, whole neighborhoods get burned down. Or we hear the news about huge forests that get burned down. We say, that doesn't seem like very good news. And it doesn't fit our usual idea of Jesus. Jesus, who is loving and merciful, the merciful Savior. What's he talking about fire and division for? Well, one way to ponder this idea of fire is to consider the process of refining gold. Any precious metal, really, but gold is probably the most common example. So how do you refine this? How do you purify gold? The most common way nowadays is to use chemicals, strong acid, separate the impurities from the gold. But in Jesus' time, in fact, and throughout all of human history, by far the most common way to purify precious metal is by fire. Fire. Intense heat, or a furnace. Well, is that a positive image or a negative one? Fire. If we like impurities, if we don't want to lose the elements that are mixed in with the gold, well, then the fire will seem like a terrible thing, because it just leads to loss, pain and loss, expense. But if our focus is on the gold, well, then fire is wonderful. It really does a very good thing for the gold. It leads to a pure and beautiful result, pure gold. 99.999 pure, that's what they say about gold. Well, what does Jesus have in mind for us and for the whole world? What Jesus has in mind for us is that we should be pure and beautiful, 99.999%. We should shine with eternal glory, in fact, 100%. 100%. A few days ago, we celebrated the solemnity of the Assumption of Mary into heaven. You probably celebrated that. That was last Friday, August 15th. It was a celebration of Mary being 100% gold, taken right into heaven. Beautiful, beautiful image, very positive image. So this is what Jesus wants for all of us. He wants us to be radiant with beauty, radiant with glory. Do we shine like that right now? Well, no. We have some radiant beauty, yes. We have some love in our hearts, patience, mercy. We're willing to make some sacrifices, of course. But we also have impurities. The whole world is full of impurities. Stubbornness, anger, laziness, selfishness, impatience. So what needs to happen? We need to be purified. We need to separate the pure gold from the impurities, from the contamination of sin. That's one way of thinking about the fire, the image of fire that Jesus uses, this fire that he wants to spread on the earth. Well, how does this fire work? How can we be purified? Actually, there are many ways. God is very creative when it comes to purifying us. He He uses failure, he uses different kinds of humiliations, poverty, sufferings of different kinds. But one way is by our encounter with the truth. When we hear the truth, it forces us either to accept it or to not accept it, to reject it. And this is one of the challenging aspects of Jesus' whole public ministry. And it's also the work of the church, this bold proclamation of the truth. Truth sounds good, but until we hear some truth that challenges how we live, then it seems like it's a bad thing. It seems like a fire is going to burn us. Now, many people have the kind of vague impression that Jesus was simply a kind and gentle figure. And that's partly true, of course. He was very gentle. He was very kind. He was very sensitive to people's needs. His heart was deeply moved by the suffering of the poor. He was very good with children. He was compassionate to sick people and outcasts, yes. But that aspect of Jesus' personality and mission is not the whole picture. If Jesus were simply a nice fellow, if he were simply like a kindly Lolo that you can visit on the weekends, well then he would never have been crucified. In his own lifetime and in the history of the church, Jesus has always been a very deeply disturbing and challenging figure. He said things that made people so angry that they wanted to throw him over a cliff. He had many enemies. Many times people wanted to kill him. Jesus came in the tradition of the prophets. You know, the prophets were sent by God to speak the truth, to speak the word of God, and they were usually killed. Not because they did anything wrong, but because they fulfilled their mission of proclaiming the truth of God's word, which is often challenging to us. And this is what Jesus does. We know what happened on Good Friday, that Jesus was sacrificed, and the people preferred the release of a criminal, a murderer, Barabbas. Jesus, to them, was worse than Barabbas. Crucify him, crucify him. Get rid of this man. Well, the church continues in this mission of proclaiming the truth, the mission of Jesus Christ in the world, the mission of the prophets. Sometimes people have the same idea about the church that they had about Jesus. They think, oh, the church should just be kindly and gentle and caring for the poor. And of course, that is part of the work of the church very much. No. The church should help the poor, help the sick, give comfort to people who are suffering and grieving. Yes, that's partly what the church must do. But the church is also a very deeply disturbing and challenging presence in the world. And there are many people who hate the church and want to destroy the church. Not because she runs hospitals and schools and orphanages and does lots of good work, feeds the hungry, comforts the dying. People don't hate that. But when the church says some things are true and some things are false, some things are good and some things are evil, people hate that. Not everybody, but some people hate it. They hate prophets, people who are attached to impurities more than the gold. They hate fire. They hate the furnace. They hate the truth. People who do not want to know the truth hate the truth. People who prefer darkness to light, they hate light. And they hate those who are bearers of light. I think that's part of what's going on in today's gospel, when Jesus says he comes to set fire on the earth, he comes to be baptized, it's an image of his passion, he comes for division, even in families. What is this business of truth? Well, truth is good news. The truth is good news. Truth is light. Truth is what brings us freedom and fulfillment. You know, Jesus himself said, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. But the truth is also fire. It challenges us to submit to it. And this is never easy for us. Jesus came to testify to the truth. What happens when people do not accept the truth? Division. That's what Jesus says in the gospel. Division is the natural consequence. It's not Jesus' intention, but it's the natural consequence of rejection of the revealed truth. Well, people say, well, if the truth is going to cause division, why bother at all? Why proclaim the truth if it's going to cause so much trouble? Why not just let people do whatever they want? Why not let people think whatever they want to think? Let them be lukewarm if they want to. Drop this idea of a fire. Why proclaim the truth? Because love moves us to share the truth. Love moves us to share the gift of the truth. As Jesus himself did. Jesus did not hold back the truth just so that people would not be angry at him. He was willing to challenge them because he loved them. He loves us. Well, you know this is so. You speak the truth about any controversial issue of the day, and what will happen? You'll experience division. Somebody will say you have no right to say that. Some people will say you have no right to impose your position on me. People will say, why are you being so judgmental? You're being so unloving. People might even be tempted to throw you over a cliff or throw you into a cistern, like we heard about Jeremiah in the first reading. Jeremiah was a prophet. What happened to him? They threw him into the cistern, sunk into the mud. And this is not only in religious settings. Think about journalists. Journalists who proclaim truths that are unwelcome to people in power, they sometimes disappear. Okay, it's hard to live by the truth. It's hard to share the truth with others. It's hard to be a faithful prophet. It's very tempting to compromise. Very tempting to turn down the heat, to be silent, to go along with the crowd, to be lukewarm. Yes. Why keep going? Why keep going if there's going to be so much division? Because the truth of God's love must be proclaimed. The truth of God's love must be shared somehow. It's too good to hold it back. It's too good to keep it to ourselves. That's why the church is constantly proclaiming the truth. The truth of God's love, the truth of God's mercy, the truth about good and evil. Yes. Well, we can only persevere in this difficult mission, in these difficult times of division, if we have fire in our own hearts. Jesus wants to set the earth on fire. He wants to set our hearts on fire, as his own heart is on fire. You have an image of the Sacred Heart here? Maybe you will. Sacred Heart, Jesus' heart's on fire. Fire of divine love, the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of compassion. Jesus is not the only one who wants to set the earth on fire. We all want that if we're his disciples. We all want that. We want what Jesus wants. We're all called to spread the fire of God's love to one another. We're all called to be fiery instruments of God's truth and love in the world.